Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Krishna's chest, heart, 19 chapters, which some people say are the 19 symbols on Srimati Radharani's lotus feet. Like the first canto has 19 chapters, they say these are the 19 symbols on Krishna's feet. So we are on chapter 11. Verse 22, chapter is called The Transcendental Qualities of Vritrasura. Asura means demon. So transcendental qualities of Vritrasura, of demon Vritrasura. Verse 22. Pumsam kilai kanta diyam svakanam. Yasam pado divi bhumaura sayam. Narati yadvesha udvega adi. Mada kalir vyasanam samprayasa. Pumsam. Such persons, unto persons. Kila. Certainly. Ekantadhiyam. Who are advanced in spiritual consciousness. Svakanam. Who are recognized by the Supreme Personality of Godhead as His own. So you can see, in English we don't have a good word for this. Svak. Za svoje. Svak, svakana means svoje, svojih. Ya. Which? Sampada. Opulences. Divi. In the upper planetary systems. Bhuma. In the middle planetary systems, Rasayam, and in the lower planetary systems, Na, not, Rati, bestows, Yat, from which, Dvesha, envy, Udvega, anxiety, Adhi, mental agitation. Mada. Pride. Kali. Quarrel. Vyasanam. Distress due to loss. Samprayasa. Great endeavor. So this is Vritra. Demon Vritrasura, demon Vritra, the biggest demon in the universe, preaching to the king of devotees, ruling the heavenly planets. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Persons who fully surrender at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and always think of His lotus feet are accepted and recognized by the Lord as His own personal assistants or servants. The Lord never bestows upon such servants the brilliant opulences of the upper, lower, and middle planetary systems of this material world. When one possesses material opulence in any of these three divisions of the universe, his possessions naturally increase his enmity, anxiety, mental agitation, pride, and belligerence. You know, it's belligerence. Belligerence? You want to fight. Quarrelsome. Becomes quarrelsome. Belligerence. Thus one goes through much endeavor to increase and maintain his possessions, and he suffers great unhappiness when he loses them. Purport. In Bhagavad Gita 4.11, the Lord says, Yayatamam prapadyante tanstathaiva bhajamyaham mama vartmano vartante manushya parta sarvasha. As devotees surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects, O son of Prita. Both Indra and Vritrasura were certainly devotees of the Lord. Although Indra took instructions from Vishnu to kill Vritrasura, the Lord was actually more favorable to Vritrasura, because after being killed by Indra's thunderbolt, Vritrasura would go back to Godhead. Whereas the victorious Indra would rot in this material world. Just yesterday there was an article. There's a third way to be interred, to be buried. To rot quickly and then be turned into fertile soil. It can be burned, buried normally, and now composted. So now Washington DC has accepted the third ecological way of burying. Quick decomposition. So one can rot as dead. You know, this joke is that most people die at the age of 30, but are not buried until they are 75. You heard it, yeah? Did you hear another one? I will start working on my character, I will start the process of self-development and self-perfection when I reach that gate. And when we reach that gate, it turns out it's a gate to cemetery. You heard it? He's a song. Okay, so rot in this material world. Who is rotting in this material world? Indra, the best of the devotees of the heavenly planets. Hare Krishna. Because both of them were devotees, the Lord awarded them the respective benedictions they wanted. Vritrasura never wanted material possessions, at least in this life, for he knew very well the nature of such possessions. To accumulate material possessions, one must labor very hard, and when he gets them, he creates many enemies, because this material world is always full of rivalry. If one becomes rich, his friends or relatives are envious. There are whole stories about people winning lottery. Just a few. A couple of years ago in London, they finally found one lottery winner under the floor of his house, killed by relatives. Hare Krishna. For Ekanta Bhaktas, unalloyed devotees, Krishna, therefore, never provides material possessions. Hare Krishna. So, leave while you can. Or, or maybe we should not become unalloyed devotees, Ekanta Bhaktas, right? Just stay for a while, a normal Bhakta. Well, stay tuned. Don't leave yet, okay? We'll discuss it. A devotee sometimes needs some material possessions for preaching. Yes? But the possessions of a preacher are not like those of a karmi. See, here is a loophole. Be a preacher. A karmi's possessions are achieved as a result of karma, but those of a devotee are arranged by the Supreme Personality of Godhead just to facilitate his devotional activities. Because a devotee never uses material possessions for any purpose other than the service of the Lord, the possessions of a devotee are not to be compared to those of a karmi.
Pado divi bumaurasayam naratiya dvesha dvega adirmada kalir vyasanam samprayasam.
Persons who fully surrender at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and always think of his lotus feet are accepted and recognized by the Lord as his own personal assistants or servants. The Lord never bestows upon such servants the brilliant opulences of the upper, lower and middle planetary systems of this world. When one possesses material opulence in any of these three divisions of the universe, his possessions naturally increase his enmity, anxiety, mental agitation, pride and belligerence. Thus, one goes through much endeavor to increase and maintain his possessions, and he suffers great unhappiness when he loses them.
Yasya prasadagyavi sadhya sarva agyatam vrajayat sa shri chaitanya devami bhagavan samprasidatu.
May Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu be fully merciful unto us by his grace. A complete fool can get all knowledge in one moment. Developing a loving relationship with Krishna is the essence of our existence. So all our lives are already some, we already have some relationship with Krishna. We have our good, eternal, loving relationship with Krishna when we go back to him, either completely or in our consciousness. And we have a belligerent, as it is called here, belligerent, rebelling relationship. We are like rebellious teenagers telling to the parents, you don't understand. You don't understand. And going away. Maybe they don't. That's another question. But we have gone away from Krishna, who actually does understand us. So therefore, as a really loving God, he creates such a huge Disneyland as this material world with different planets. Of course, since we declare independence, therefore we have to play by the rules of this Disneyland. So if we play nice, we can fly in the spaceships in the higher planetary systems and have garlands that never wilt, and we do not need deodorants there. Guess why? Because the body doesn't smell. I mean, doesn't smell in a bad way. May smell in a good way, but doesn't smell in an unattractive way. You also do not touch the ground. You always hover above the ground. You never get sick. You do not need either to do exercise or liposuction. You are always, or what, cosmetic surgery. You never get wrinkles. You are always perfect till you die. But die we must, even there. So that's the upper planet opulences. And then in the lower planets, we have some other fun. This is called Bilasvarga, the paradise in caverns. So in Slovenia we have very beautiful Postojnska Jama with its own railway. Yes. who has been to Pustanskaya? Okay, see, that's, you haven't. It's expensive. Relatively. So there are own opulences, and of course our lower planet opulences apparently we hear from some Mahabharata stories that these are the technology, the modern technology, these are things that are brought by Maya Danava from lower planets apparently. I haven't read personally, but some devotees like Sadaputta Prabhu say so. These are these things. So, of course, there is also the middle planets. So Krishna creates everything so we can have our way. And then we waste here a lot of time. And we can even become a king. So just like you can imagine, you went playing. You remember there were times when people went, children went out to play and play with friends like IRL in real life, not virtually through internet, but like face to face, hide and seek and tag and catch. Whatever. So just imagine, you are elected, you deserve to be the leader. Anyways, we still, I think even in the most electronically advanced age, we will still have probably football and baseball and basketball and all other kinds of balls for physical playing also. So just imagine you are selected to be the king or the team leader or the captain. So that's Indra, right? He's Indra, and he's the captain of the best players in the heavenly planets. He has power, he has everything, imaginable and even more unimaginable for us. And here, he has to kill a demon, Vritrasura, who is called Vritra because he is covering covering the whole universe. Do you have this word ovine, zavine, za somehow like Ovira, you have wrap. You have something like wrapping. Oviti. Yeah? So.
Zaviti.
Yeah? So vrit. Yeah. So zavini. So zavine. So Vritra endangers the whole universe. He's Vritra because he zavia. He's covering. So powerful, and he's covering the whole universe with his power. So he needs to be killed. For normal functioning of the universe, it's like I don't know, like a you have a nice football match, and then there is a crazy hooligan fan with I don't know what, bombs and smoke and something else. So he has to be stopped. So Indra is fighting with him. And he's losing. So obviously Vritra is more powerful. He's losing and he's getting ready to stop fighting. Indra basically stops fighting. Indra gives up his fight. He thinks it's useless. Vritra is so powerful. That's hopeless. I'm losing. And then what happens? Vritra says, come on. Why do you stop? You must fight. You are a devotee, you must fight not for victory but for pleasing God, and God will always do the best for his devotee, so you do it as service. And I personally am not interested in anything in this material world. I'm not fighting to get your kingdom. I'm just also fighting because that's my position and that's my service here. And it's not that I'm fighting to get any of the rewards in higher systems like you, or in lower systems, like some demons, or in the middle systems. Because Krishna will never give to a devotee material opulence. So it sounds like, you know, like if you read, because it's a complicated Sanskrit sentence. It sounds like Krishna will never give any material opulence to a devotee. Yes, but you can see that if you read carefully, if you pay attention to Sanskrit also, if you pay attention to the word for word, you will see what Vritrasura actually is saying. He's saying that Krishna will never give to his dear devotee opulences which create trouble. This kind of opulence he will not give. He will not give opulence to you which makes you proud. He will not give opulences which creates agitation, which creates quarrel. He is not going to give his dear devotee an opulence which will create quarrel with others, which will create sadness, anxiety, or which requires extreme effort and endeavor. So this type of opulence he's not giving. Not that he's not giving any opulence. As you can see, Srila Prabhupada says that a preacher's opulence is different, because Srila Prabhupada is using a lot of opulence. As in a very famous letter, so when they were just beginning, when Srila Prabhupada was just beginning his coming to Vrindavan, and his godbrothers, one of very nice godbrother, he's coming, and Prabhupada's disciples cook. So this godbrother didn't want to take that cooking, because he was worried. Oh, these are Western mlechas, uncultured people. If I eat, I will become contaminated. So that was his, you know, thinking. And then some months later, or years later, he writes to Srila Prabhupada saying that I'm building a temple in Vishakhapatnam. Do you think you could maybe help build this temple and give some donation? So you can find in the database this letter. He says, Srila Prabhupada writes that, we have a lot of money. True. Yeah, we are selling actually hundreds of thousands of books and daily. So we have really millions of rupees. And indeed, we could certainly easily help you build that temple. But you see, this money comes from these Western mlechas. So I am very worried. It may contaminate you. So I think I should not give you, because it's very, you know, it's dangerous. It's much more dangerous than food. Of course, we see that Srila Prabhupada was able to restore sanity, that you judge people not by the skin, not by birth, not by color, not by shape, not by gender, not by any of the bodily criteria. It seems Srila Prabhupada has been able to convince people. Obviously, followers of pure bhakti, his godbrothers, but just also in general, intelligent people of India. I remember when we came in South India, when we came in Tiruvananthapuram, Trivandrum, with the super famous Swami Padmanabha temple, very beautiful temple, very famous temple. This temple has become even more famous a couple years ago, when they were cleaning and opened some old storage room. Do we have some storage rooms here? Like, you know, like old storage room? So they opened one old storage room, and there was like five billion worth of gold just kept there. So they there was a big discussion. Does it belong to the government? Does it belong to the temple? That was, and there's even bigger discussion that maybe there are more storage rooms. All the storage rooms in that temple. So that was just accidental, you know, they opened one. Oh, here we have some gold here. Okay. So it became super famous around the world for that. So it's a beautiful temple. When we came there, they were usually you have the main deity, which is reclining peacefully and taking rest on the main altar. Sometimes the pujari will offer lamp to different. This is how you have, you know, when we offer lamp, if you remember the old school, you offer the lamp to the feet, to the belly, and to the face. So that especially, so like, you know, when we have electricity and everything, that's sort of not so clear, why do we have to offer like this? But if you come to that old temple, and you come to that altar room, which is usually dark, then it makes perfect sense, because the pujari shows you, with the lamp, he shows you the feet, shows you the middle, and shows you the face. And then you see, oh, this is Krishna, this is Krishna lying there. So it's very logical. And then, okay, Swami Padmanabham, he's probably 5 meters long, 4 meters long. You remember? Swami Padmanabham. But also there is a big compound, and in the wall there are other temples, and there is one Krishna temple also. And in front there is a big podium, and there was maybe 80 ladies singing a beautiful tune. Singing Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. They were singing some lullaby for Krishna. Hare Krishna, they were singing Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. For Westerners, anybody has been to Tiruvananthapuram? Who has been? You have been. Have you been to Swami Padmanabha temple? Did you get the king's paper? Usually when we come there, the process is we go to our temple, then in our temple they send somebody to the king. They have a king. And the king writes that such and such is a devotee. So allow him in the temple. So the king gives a paper, and with this certificate, you go to the temple and they let you in because there are guards. So still, like in Puri, Jagannath Puri, Westerners are not allowed inside normally. So other places, we see tourists are not allowed. Devotees, ISKCON devotees are allowed. They will see, and they didn't allow, like Srirangam. But then they see, they examine, they follow the principles, they chant the mantra, they are initiated, okay, they are okay, they can come for darshan. So me and Patri, we came there, one devotee, which was a very strong and wonderful preacher. We were traveling, so we came there in the evening, and then we thought, it's too late to get that paper from the king for today, only tomorrow. But tomorrow we could go to Adikeshava temple, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu found Sri Brahma Samhita. And that's a few hours, couple hours bus ride. So we thought, anyway, let's go try. Maybe they will let us in. So we came, and we spoke in Hindi to the guards, Brahman guards, in the temple. So they say, where are you coming from? We say, we are coming from Vrindavan Mathura, which is correct. We came from Vrindavan Mathura. And, in the north, people are usually of lighter color. But obviously, we are both from Ukraine, so obviously we do have some people in Ukraine that look like Indians, in South Watermelon area where they grow watermelons. Also, even the color will be more similar, because they are out in the field, so they will be nicely suntanned. But still, we are quite different, right? So we were saying, we have come from Mathura Vrindavan, which was right, correct, to see Swami Padmanabha. So the guard, he took my arm like this. He said, "Your skin is a little too white." But okay, you can go. So it was like the transition between, you know, the old retrograde. Actually, it's not only astrological term, right? It's also the term for backward thinking people, right? And some more eternal view of spirit. So he let us in. That was a very nice experience. Of course, nowadays, strangely enough, some people try to bring up some bodily conception into our society. And some people think it's Indians. It's not Indians. It's actually Westerners. Only some people, like, I may say something controversial now for some people, but some people think that, for example, ladies leading some functions, or ladies being gurus, that this is objected to by Indians. Nothing can be farther from truth. It's a singularly Western problem. Only Muslims and Catholics ban women. Only Muslims and Catholics ban women from being priests and from, you know, leading functions. In India, you can see since centuries you have queens. Since centuries you have women gurus. Since centuries you have women with millions of followers, and nobody gives a second thought to it. If she's capable, she's capable. It's not controversial. It's nothing controversial. It's not something, oh, it's amazing. Okay, she's. The thing is that not many women want it. Not many women sort of strive for this. So therefore, you will not have many. They're not interested so much in it. So therefore, you will not have many. But if there are, it was never a problem in India. So many, it's not a new thing. So many decades, just a couple weeks ago in Houston, we were sitting, we had a meeting, and we had one Indian, it was Krishna Abhishek, I think, who was, if I'm correct, he's a professor in Chicago, and he's from Bengal. So he said his father, very traditional Indian, he would always go to a lecture by a female guru. That was their family tradition. That was classic and very canonical. There was not a smallest doubt that this is something controversial, something new. It was very ordinary. Nobody, even before Srila Prabhupada, it was not such a big thing. In our sampradaya, we have so many female gurus. Anyway, this is a side point. Point is that we are not the body, and we are spirit. And Srila Prabhupada has recovered this idea in a larger society that we are not the body, even though it is trying to find ways here and there, and one way or another, that we are the body. Of course, we need to give proper attention to the body and not misuse the body. But in fact, we are spirit. So in this verse, Vritrasura tells that Krishna is concerned about you as a devotee. And so he's not giving you opulence which will create these material problems. So he can give all kinds of opulence, but this opulence is a blessing. So what Krishna gives is a blessing. So therefore, if we want some opulence, or if you hate opulence, we have both kinds. some devotees, you can see, I don't know what's the percentage, 90%, 10%, 80%, 20%. Some of us like opulence. Well, depends which opulence. You know, we all like opulence. There are different kinds of Lakshmi. There is Vairagya Lakshmi, Lakshmi of renunciation. Yes. There is Moksha Lakshmi, Lakshmi of freedom. Yes. And there is Adi Lakshmi, Srimati Radharani, who is sharing bhakti with the whole universe. Right? So bhakti is also an opulence, is a great opulence. So all of us want some kind of Shri, some kind of opulence, blessing. Right? So whether you want the opulence, or poverty opulence, or renunciation opulence, or freedom opulence, or bhakti opulence, or ecstasy opulence, whatever blessing you want, you can take, you can find a clue in this verse. Vamanadeva tells Bali Maharaj that to give special mercy, I will take away the opulence of a devotee to remove his pride and attachment. But then he says, if he is not proud, then this is my blessing. So if there is some opulence you want to have, you must look. Does it make me proud? Am I proud of this? Am I quarreling? Do I compete with somebody? Do I try to supersede somebody? It can be so many areas. Can be money, can be knowledge, can be position, can be power, can be fame. Can so many. Can be poverty. I'm more poor than him. Yes, we had Sudama. He was so poor, and he was very happy. He's so poor. Nobody as poor as me. Hare Krishna. So, do we compete? What else is here? Are we anxious? Oh, is it? Does it create anxiety? How do I keep? How do I increase? Do we have to invest so much work to get and expand? Or is it a happy service, loving service? Of course, again, nothing wrong with hard work for a marathon. My Bhakta leader used to say, festival means Mahotsava, and Mahotsava means big sweating. So festival is a festival for the guests. But for Svakanam, za svoje, it's big sweating. Right? So the guests are sweating in the kirtan, and svoje are sweating in the kitchen. Everybody's sweating. So that's Mahotsava. Big festival. But not all the time. Not till it drives you crazy. Okay, so pride, enmity, anxiety, agitation, competition. What else is there? So all of these attachment. So if there is some opulence you want to keep, you must be free from these. Then it's Krishna's blessing. Then it is spiritual. So Krishna is very kind. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Dear Shri Shri Panchatattva, Shri Shri Bhaktas of Shri Shri Navayugapit in Shri Shri Lublanapur, Lublanapuri. Ljubljana, in your mind, what's the association? Ljubljana is connected with love, yeah? Yeah, so what do we call? Premapur, Premapuri. Ljubljana mjesto. Prema Puri. Yes, Prema Puri. Good. Just have to add Krishna Prema Puri. So, Krishna gives no opulence to devotees who are focused on him. Hare Krishna. Hope you were not asleep when I explained the details. any comments, questions, points? Yes. It's very nice. You always come up with a question.
So the verse says that material attachment creates all the thingies like enmity and anger. Are there specific material attachments that create the specific...
Here it just says opulence. Opulence from higher, middle and lower planets, which creates these things. So any type of opulence of different worlds. Like in higher planets, this, we have, we say, three worlds. So lower planets, in a very gross way, this would be something like technology. In the middle planets, on Earth, what is our opulence? That's, I don't even know how to... usually we think gold, grain, good food, health, and so forth. But we see this is also available in higher planets in paradise. But then there is also the top four planets, which are Munilokas, where the opulence is knowledge, detachment, freedom, and so forth, purity. So that's, although in the heavenly planets there is a transition also. But we want that Vaikuntha, and what to speak about Goloka Vrindavana, so much more opulent. But there is none of these enmity, quarrel, pride, and so forth. So it's just the nature of opulence in general. But in the material world, basically we see there are four or five general basic desires: to enjoy, to control, to be popular or famous or approved, have approval, some approval, acceptance, recognition. That's three. Security, survival, status. That's four. And some kind of very deep existential type of envy of Krishna, either to merge with Krishna, with God, or to make him disappear, become completely separate from God. So these are the basic rocks on which all of our other desires are based. Every other desire, wealth, relationships, whatever else is based either on a desire for approval or security or control, or all these can be reduced to these basic urges. Therefore, Suhridam Sarabuddhanam, Sarvaloka Maheshwaram, Bhaktaram Yagatapasam, Gyatavam Shantim Richati. Therefore, if you know that Krishna is the enjoyer, Krishna is the controller, Krishna is the friend, then we become peaceful. So in other words, we leave it to Krishna to enjoy these opulences.
Technically, when you take initiation from spiritual master, then all your belongings, all your material possessions belong to him. Is this right?
Even before.
Okay.
The kings, in the Bhagavatam you can see, it's so funny. The kings do a yagya, and then, where did we read it? recently? Was it in Kurukshetra? Some yagya was there. In Bhakti Vedanta, the king, or was it in the fifth canto, Nabhi, King Nabhi, some king performs a sacrifice, and then he says, everything belongs to you, or was it the four Kumaras who come and Prithu greets them? So the king will say to the Brahmanas, the whole world actually, no, he says, only the Brahmanas enjoy their own property. Everybody else enjoys property borrowed from the Brahmanas. Because the Brahmanas they do sacrifice for pleasing the source of all opulence. So therefore, the controlling powers of the universe send all the opulence, right? So therefore, truly everything is Brahmana's property. And everybody else enjoys something borrowed from the Brahmanas. And so therefore, you will see that frequently at the end of a sacrifice, the king will give everything, the whole globe or earth planet or whatever his empire is, to the Brahmanas. Ramachandra did, yes. And many. Parashuram also did. Normally, what happens afterwards, the Brahmanas will say, no, we don't need. Just kažeš za mišaj, za se. Ne rabim. Tega ne rabim. Who needs this? You know, empire, this. So just keep it. They will give back. Same also, a disciple, sometimes I've seen, I know there was one, brahmachari, he got a flat from his as an inheritance. I think he sold the flat. So you can imagine how much it costs, and he gave all this money to Niranjan Swami. So Niranjan Swami took it, and he said, but first he refused several times. Sound like my Guru Maharaj is so difficult to give donations to him. He will just not take it. It's like very difficult. He will ask 20 times. Or from brahmacharis, he will just refuse. Older people, he will just refuse. It's very difficult to others. He will ask, are you sure? No, you need yourself. Just keep it for yourself. Anyway, so and then that brahmachari got married. So he called him. And he said, I took that money when you were giving, but I told you that I can give it back to you. So here, take it back. And, you know, it was big amount of money, you know. And he said, no, I have given it to you. How can I take it back? He said, look, it's my money. He said, yes. So he said, I can do whatever I want with it. Yes. So I want to use it to help you to start your family. That's how I want to use it. So will you forbid me to use it how I want it? And he gave this money back to this disciple who got married.
Because I really this new condition for initiation. What's the this course about Guru Tattva? Well, what's called disciple course? Yes, because this is about Guru Tattva, and I didn't come across any mention of what happens technically to your possessions. I mean, it doesn't directly says that everything you belongs to Guru after you take initiation. And it's a bit strange because it's quite an important factor. So we are probably very much so-called politically correct about this, and nobody wants to speak about. I mean, I want to say what's and spiritual master also, as you've said, in many cases he will not directly say what to do with the money because he's.
No, he will say. He will say directly. Okay. Yes, if you ask, he will say. He will give the most mature and balanced advice how to use all the money.
So that's the best the best way to find out what to do with the money is to go directly to the spiritual master and say this money is yours and give him this empowerment in quotation marks that you are all right with this and do whatever you want with this or say whatever you want me to do with this. This is the best way to deal with money in ISKCON, or what do you think? What's your advice with so-called your money?
Yes, it's the best way. Yeah, for a brahmachari. Right, a brahmachari means that everything belongs to Guru. Grihastha also, but Grihastha also needs to. So we had an example of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's disciple, Grihastha, who would give all the salary to Bhaktisiddhantaji, and then 100%. And then the wife would come and say, "Oh, my Guru Maharaj." So he would give her back something to keep the family running. So it also is practical. It's not something to be done just out of pride or theoretical principle. It has to be done in a practical way. And to you, it's best to use our energies in such a way that we are advancing in spiritual consciousness. Yeah, this is the purpose of this.
And the wife should also advance.
Yeah, everybody, yes. We should all, because what if I give everything away and then 2 years later I regret, become angry and bitter, then. Or 20 years later, I go around accuse, "Oh, I have given my best years of life to this society, and what have I got?" Right? So that's not wanted. Of course, when I told this to my Bhartma Pradarshaka Guru, you know, first of our friends who joined with us started leaving, as may sometimes happen, after 6-7 years or something, he asked, "Why are they leaving?" I say, "They say they didn't get anything." He said, "But they missed the whole point. You're coming not to get something, but to give away to Krishna your love. So how can you not get the chance to give your love to Krishna? I mean, it's not what you get, it's what you give. Right? So that you can always do. You come and serve, you give." So he says, who doesn't let them give love, loving service to Krishna? Isn't it? That's the idea. That's devotional service. You do lovingly give to Krishna. That's what you give. And then automatically what you get is the side product. And if you switch to the side product, to the byproduct, side effect, then and we forget to do the work, then side product will also disappear. So it's better to act in a sane, balanced, harmonious way. Sustainable, nowadays very famous. Trino, yeah? In a sustainable way, it's a marathon. It's not a sprint, 100-meter sprint. It's a marathon which can last lifetimes. Or lifetime, whatever.
So.
In marathon? Oh yeah, we have marathon runners here. Yeah, Ljubljana.
They're always like tables where they give different things.
Yeah, they give you water,
so
they give you...
stop too many times.
You never reach the...
It takes a lot of time to get to the finish.
So it's not... how do I say? It's not an abstract rule. Every rule is practical. If this is the call of your heart and you're happy to, so proper, you can see that charity in tamas is done in just under illusion. Charity in rajas is done begrudgingly. Oh, there is a rule, I must give. Okay, I'm giving. So if we do something in rajas, this result is very unstable. But in sattva, there, it's done with because we like to do what's necessary, and we do it happily. And in bhakti, it's ecstatic. We are very happy to do this. Right. So then we don't never regret. This will always be a very cherished memory. Oh, I could give that donation. It's so nice. Otherwise, if it's done, because we can obey a rule in some other guna also, right? So that's chapter 17.
You mentioned that sometimes Krishna don't want to give devotees this material opulence.
Not I, Vritrasura.
Yes, you mentioned what he said. So in that way, that could mean that Krishna wants to protect us and also consider us as a qualified for maybe other opulence, which is not material, which is metaphysical opulence, to help us to develop more humility, love, and like that. So how to not be neglective to that kind of opulence which Krishna wants to give us? And can you elaborate much more about that, how to accept it?
Yes. So you go talk to Krishna. You go to Krishna and say, Krishna, I think you are overestimating me. I think I'm more advanced than I am. So either you can please help me be more advanced, that I so please help me to become more humble, more dedicated, right? Or this opulence you're giving creates what you have described in that verse, anxiety and agitation and fear and so forth. So you talk to him. And then Krishna will say, oh, but I want you to advance quickly. And I say, okay, I also want to advance quickly, but can we advance a little less quickly? So, you know, he's a person, you're a person. So you can talk to him. Plus, it's the question of surrender. So this is the idea of taking help from devotees, taking help from Krishna, taking help from Krishna as Bhagavatam, as Kirtan, as the deities. So all these aspects of Krishna to go deeper in our devotional development. So we are trying to find nourishment, so that we can assimilate some new lesson or new gift Krishna is giving. We need to assimilate, right? Because not all food we put in our stomach gets digested. So we need also proper strength to even digest food, right? So we need for that certain exercise or vitamins or supplements nowadays. My friend was joking, I once bought a watermelon in Vrindavan, and it was not sweet. So I bought bought glucose powder, and I sprinkled glucose powder on the watermelon. And it was nice, you know. And I added a little vitamin C powder. So my friend was looking at this, and he said, before it was all together. There was a fruit, had fructose and vitamins. Nowadays you put everything separately. So, sometimes you get it together, sometimes you need to put different enzymes, you know, that it can metabolize. Like they say, as vegetarians, sometimes we may have trouble with B12. Right? And if you just take it as a supplement through the mouth, there is 40 conditions so that it's assimilated. But some devotees, one devotee was telling me, he started buying the shots, injections, because then it just goes directly into blood. So we have also some direct injection of the life-supporting vitamin as sadhu sangha, deity worship, holy places and festivals, Srimad Bhagavatam, and Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Thank you very much.